You are listening to The Scroll, an audiobook about Ecclesiastes, written and read by Vance Neudorf. This is Chapter 15, Part 1. A young girl's exaggerated whisper preceded a burst of muffled laughter and a rush of feet down the stairs. A woman's voice called out in anger from the apartment below, and the laughter immediately ceased. Kohelet could hear the children retreating down the stairs along with a constant flow of their mother's irritation. He knew that harsh voice well. She was one of those people driven by a perpetual need to control others. No one could live up to her standards, and she made sure they knew it. Her compulsive need to control her world came from a constant fear of disorder getting out of control and overwhelming her. As a result, she possessed the ability to quickly and effectively stifle joy in both her children and her husband. Kohelet wiped a sleeve over his sweaty brow and shook his head. Would there ever be a time when he constantly wasn't observing others? He had been quietly watching people ever since he was a child, and that was likely the reason he had such a hard time relating to others in any meaningful way. When it came down to it, he simply did not trust people. It was difficult to enter freely into a relationship when you were always evaluating motives. He pointed his pen to the sky. You, too, are the subject of my inquiries, but it seems rather pointless, for under your sun I am so small. Amid all your people I feel insignificant, and within the span of history I feel so transitory. Even within my own head I feel lost and alone. I try to make sense of it all, but I always come up short. When I tell myself to quit thinking about it, I just go round in circles again. He shook his head and began to write. My days had been dedicated to a careful observation of all the work people do upon the earth. I hardly slept as I tried to figure out God's intent for us, but no one can fully comprehend everything that takes place under the sun. Despite my best efforts to search it out, I could not understand it. Even if a wise person claims to know what God is doing, no one can truly know the mind of God. But the truth of that statement did not stop him from continually trying. Even now he was looking for what God might have in mind for him. What his future might hold was fueling his imagination, and he looked for any indication of what new troubles he and Benjamin might be heading into now that they were finally free of Moriah. He wrote again. When I reflected on this, I realized that although the lives of the righteous and the wise are in God's hands, no one knows if success or failure awaits them. And a final destiny will come to all, the righteous and the wicked, the good and the bad, the holy and the unholy, those who worship God and those who do not. The blameless will die the same as the sinner, and those who make promises to God face the same end as those who are afraid to make them. Indeed, the most distressing fact about living under the sun is that every one of us will eventually die. That knowledge fills our hearts with sadness and our minds with worry while we live, and then we die anyway. At least while we are alive, we have hope, for as they say, a live dog is better off than a dead lion. Kohelet leaned back into his chair, put his hands behind his head, and looked up at the sky. Here I am, an old dog, scrounging for scraps from your hand. The smell of his sweaty body rose up to his nose, and he put his arms back down to his side. He was as smelly as Esther's old hound, but at least he was alive and able to still enjoy the simple rewards of the day. A dead lion was a curiosity, but you could look at it for only so long, and then life would pull you on, and the lion would be forgotten. People could study the past until their own time on earth ended, but history failed as a guide for the future. He wrote more. We, the living, know that one day we must die, but the dead know nothing more. They have no further influence, and no one remembers them for long. Their love, hate, and envy have long since vanished, and never again will they have a part in anything that happens under the sun. The sun on his face felt good, but for each day it warmed him, it was also marching him closer to the day when it would rise and not find him under its steady gaze. Life passed quickly, but unfortunately many people were so caught up in the inevitability of death that they forgot how to live. Kohelet studied the basket of fruit and wine Eli had left on his desk. The man was a master of presentation. The sunlight and shadows on the fruit and wine made them look more like a painting than real objects. The basket was a feast for the eyes, but it could not stay that way. Its contents were designed to be consumed, not just looked at. Left untouched, the fruit would rot and return to the dust. Kohelet chuckled. It was the perfect example of what had become the central theme of his teaching, a wonderfully paradoxical teaching, for he had discovered that the enjoyment of life's pleasures also require that your time would be used up and spent. Each moment of each day you enjoyed also brought you one day closer to the end. Seeing a child take her first steps brought great pleasure to her mother, yet those first steps would eventually lead her daughter out the door to live her own life. Only by embracing that reality could the simple pleasures of life be truly enjoyed. Dipping his pen, Qohelet bent over the scroll and wrote as rapidly as he dared. Finishing the final word with a flourish, he slapped his pen down on the desk and went to his window. Below him, people were milling about, and the booths made of wood covered with palm fronds were springing up across the market. Youthful joy sprang up inside him, and Qohelet leaned out the window as far as he dared, and he called onto the street below the words he had just written. "Go then, eat your bread with gladness, and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for today your work is blessed by God." As his voice filled the market square, all the people in the street stopped in place. They gazed up at him, but no one responded. Their mild-mannered Qohelet had never spoken this loudly or from on high before. Hopeful faces looked at him like a flock of sheep, begging the shepherd to lead him to fresh pasture and a cool stream. Qohelet continued, "Put on your best clothes, use your finest perfume, and enjoy each futile day of your fleeting life with the people you love. For these pleasures are God's gift to you in your toilsome labor under the sun." A few nodded. Esther smiled broadly, and Qohelet stopped. Time was suspended as his mind considered the scene below. Is this what God felt like as he looked down on creation that groaned beneath the weight of a corrupted earth? Seeing their hope and hearing their cries for relief, and yet knowing that the thorns, thistles, and death you have mingled into your creation will continue to press them back down into the earth. Esther gestured for him to keep going. She knew what always followed this statement in his teaching, but Qohelet knew it was not what the people wanted to hear. It was a wise teaching. It was the very reason to move on and enjoy your days, to invest yourself fully into your work. He swallowed and went on. "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For in the grave, where you are going, there is neither working nor planning, nor knowledge, nor wisdom." For a brief moment, the market stood frozen in place, and then, as if on cue, a gust of wind rippled through the awnings of the marketplace. A metal pot clattered to the ground, and a child cried out in pain. The scene below resumed as if the passing wind had completely erased his words. Only Esther kept looking at him, nodding and smiling. One person grasped his message and actually lived it out. She waved and retreated into the booth that was being constructed in front of Eli's shop. You've been listening to The Scroll, Chapter 15, Part 1. www.artofwork.ca, bringing ancient wisdom to life. Thank you for listening.